Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Deeper Daily Broadcast. Glad to have you on board for another week as we head towards the end of the month of May. This year, as always, they're all just flying by, and we hope that you're having a great weekend, you're having a great month, the great month of May. And I recently celebrated a birthday, and so I'm one year older and hopefully 1 year wiser. I believe I'm becoming wiser in Christ Jesus every day, if nothing else. And I hope that I've picked a message this week that's going to bless your heart. The Lord put this on my heart to preach a few weeks ago at our home church. This was a midweek Bible study. I hear a lot of our midweek Bible studies for a couple of reasons. One, the focus of this program is to go deeper. And on Wednesday nights, we go deep, deep, deep into the Word, use a lot of text, a lot of cross-reference. And so I think it's very appropriate for the radio audience. And two, they're long. We teach an hour or more on Wednesday evenings. It allows us to put them on the program and take you through a whole week of the same message. This week is no exception. This message deals with when the title is When the Bitter Becomes Sweet. Let me explain that. The message will speak for itself, but let me get you kickstarted with this. Sometimes we have become so used to eating bitterness and stale bread that we convince ourselves that it's good for us. And the Word of God warns us about that. Plus, there's a flip side to the coin. God can take our bitter, when all that we have is bitter, and inject His finished work and bring it out sweet on the other side. Keep those two things in mind as you listen this week. Here is When the Bitter Becomes Sweet.
We have an enormous amount of material tonight. That's no shocker. But I want to show you a verse that the Lord put on my heart this week. And sometimes this is the way it works. A verse, and then it just kind of grows until there's a whole story. And what I love about it is things I forget I ask the Lord for in study, He will bring back at the opportune moment. It's not opportune for me because I'm not studying it, but it's opportune for the Holy Spirit who has led me into that direction. So tonight before we're done, we're going to get into an Old Testament story. And I'll tell you when we get there, but an Old Testament story, I think, that is again going to unveil Jesus in all His beauty and all His loveliness. Let's dig down deep and find Him in all of His beauty. I want to say this before we start. There is a hunger, and this is going to sound like a paradox. There is both a hunger and a lack of hunger at the same time within the church world. And let's say it this way. There are those who have ceased to be hungry because they are so full of activity and works and doing, they don't have room to be hungry. They don't ever come to church to get fed. They just come to church to survive. They come to church to make it to heaven. They don't come to get food in their soul. They are not hungry. They are not looking for fuel. They are just looking to get home. Okay? At the same time, sitting within our churches are people starving half to death, that are desperately hungry for God to say something to them. They're so desperate, in fact, that they're willing to take their food from whatever they can get. They'll feed themselves off of whatever ministry they can hear. They'll feed themselves off of whatever song they can hear, whatever book they can read. So desperate has become their hunger that they're willing to actually put things into their spirit man that are bad for them as long as they're putting something in their spirit man. All right, and I know there's a lot of different points in between, but I want to dwell on those two because the Lord led me to a verse this week that I think dwells on those two. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. The full soul loathes a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And as I was reading this week, I felt the Lord show me in my spirit that the two types of people that I want to address tonight, I'm going to title this very simple title, When the Bitter Becomes Sweet. There are a couple different types. I'll not dwell too much on the first one, but I do want to bring it out to get us to the end. Okay, and the first one is the full soul that loathes the honeycomb. And of course, the word soul, when we're in the New Testament, is psyche. We've dealt with that two or three different sermons recently. But the word soul in the Hebrew is nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, and nephesh means life or appetite or mind or desire. Can you see how it's very similar to the Greek psyche? Life or flesh or appetite or desire. So Solomon is saying in Proverbs 27, the full appetite, the full mind, when all your desires and your appetites are full, it causes you to loathe the honeycomb. And the word full in the Hebrew is a negative satisfaction. In other words, you are satisfied, but not in a good way. Okay? So, the author is saying, whenever you have satiated, actually the Hebrew uses the idea of a satiated, like a sponge that has become full. When you are satiated in mind and in emotion and in desire, it causes you to actually loathe the honeycomb. Now the honeycomb, for purposes of this verse, is the sweetest thing available. Okay? It's the natural sweetener. Naturally making whatever it touches taste better. At least that's the purpose of using the honeycomb in the Word of God. Where milk and honey flows is a physical description of the promised land, though we know that there weren't rivers of milk and honey, you know, on the ground when they got there. So it was the Lord giving us a type and shadow of Christ's redemption in us is as milk and honey to satiate our soul in a good way, not a bad way, because the Hebrew negative satiate is Proverbs 27:7. If you've been negatively satiated in desire and mind and affection and emotion, it'll cause you to actually not want that which you would normally want. So we can get so full of doing that we actually push away God's grace and favor. I'm amazed at the people who are right on the cusp. Let me scratch that. They're not right on the cusp. They absolutely need God's grace and favor poured into their lives. They're at that place where they're at the breaking point. They're about to fall apart. They desperately need the Lord to do something miraculous. And they'll hear the message of grace and push it away for 1,000 different reasons, whatever, none of which make much sense, and consider themselves full and push away the very honeycomb that God's put for them through Calvary. And I want you to please understand, Satan's greatest trick is not getting you to commit adultery, or lie, or curse God, or be a hypocrite. Satan's greatest trick is often pushed and promoted within the church because it's so subtle. It's the exact same thing he used on Eve. He says to Eve, take and eat this fruit, for the Lord knows that in the day that you eat it, you'll be like him. Satan offers Eve the chance to have righteousness that she doesn't have. In other words, he says, look, there's more righteousness to be had. God tricked you. God cheated you. If you would just eat the fruit, you could be even more righteous than you are right now. Did you know it's the exact same trick he uses today in the church? If you could do this, you could be more righteous. If you could go there, you could be more righteous. And a lot of us won't believe it's the devil. Because we don't believe the devil would ever tell us to do something that seems so good. Why would the devil push and promote me to do something for the Lord? It's not that he wants you doing anything for the Lord. It's that he wants you thinking that doing for the Lord makes you better. Makes you more righteous. Makes you more holy. Makes you more anointed. So, look at the phrase in 27:7. Loatheth. The King James loatheth. Loatheth the honeycomb. The Hebrew phrase for loathe is to trample under your feet. So you can get so full that you would trample underfoot the sweetness of God's grace. And you say, Pastor, how do you know he's talking about God's grace? Because we let the Bible interpret the Bible, right? We let what God's Word says in one spot help us to understand what God's Word is saying in another spot. Now, what does loathe mean? To trample underfoot. Let's keep our focus here in Proverbs 27. Keep your ribbon there, but go to the New Covenant, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Remember the phrase, trample underfoot. Who tramples the honeycomb underfoot? The guy who is so full in his soul that he doesn't feel like he needs it. Why would he be so full that he doesn't feel like he needs the honeycomb? Who wouldn't want the honeycomb? Who wouldn't want it to be sweet? So what is it he's trampling, and why would he trample it? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. How much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy that's trodden underfoot the Son of God? Notice the phrase, Proverbs 27:7. You trod underfoot the honeycomb. The guy that is so full in his spirit, in his soul, not his spirit, his soul, that he would walk on top of the honeycomb. What's walking on top of? Hebrews 10:29. Those would walk on underfoot the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Who is this book written to? Hebrews, Jews. who Paul is speaking to in Hebrews chapter 10 are Hebrews who have went back to the law thinking that their works can justify them. And Paul says, when you go back to the works of the law, you are walking on the Son of God. And you've done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So, according to Paul's writings in Hebrews, who is it that would walk on God's grace? Someone who believed that they should trust their works. According to Solomon, Proverbs 27:7, who would walk on the honeycomb? The guy who is so full, he doesn't think he needs anything else. So can you see the connection? What would cause us to lose our hunger in the church? To lose our desire for the sweetness of God's grace. How do we know that the honeycomb is God's grace? Because Hebrews 10:29 says you've done despite unto the Spirit of grace. What is it we're walking on? The Spirit of grace. Not just grace. You don't really walk on God's grace, but you walk on the Spirit of God's grace. The acceptance of God's grace. And if you walk on the Spirit of God's grace, it has to be because you feel like you've got enough in you. I think we're at a dangerous spot right now in the church. And it's so dangerous, not because God's not moving. God is moving. Not because God's grace isn't awesome. God's grace is beyond awesome. But I think we're at a dangerous place because I'm noticing this, and I'm sure some of you have noticed this as well. And I don't really even watch or read that much. So if I'm noticing it, it's really got to be out there, to be honest with you. Because I don't go out and feed off of other sources very often. But I'm noticing a trend in emphasizing Jewish customs, dates, laws amongst Christians. Okay, for instance, there's a big push every time a Jewish holiday comes up. The Christian networks, the preachers, the teachers will do sermon after sermon on emphasis on that holiday, on observing Passover or the Day of Atonement. So much so then that we'll throw merchandise the date. Give X amount of dollars as your Passover offering, and God will give you the rewards of Passover. Okay? Or we're selling prayer shawls, or menorahs, or unleavened bread, all kinds of stuff. What are we doing? There's a subtle mixture of Judaism and Christianity, and the people that are doing it are leading the rest of us to believe that there's a higher level of Christianity if you successfully commingle Jewish custom with Christianity. Paul saw it in his day and said, do you think you can be justified by circumcision or the works of circumcision? Do you think that you can be justified by Sabbaths or holy days? Do you think you can be justified by the things, by the ceremony, by the stuff, by the meat, by the drink? Paul said, no, if you're going to be justified by one of it, you got to be justified by all of it. You must make a decision whether your righteousness lies in Christ and His finished work or in Judaism and its unfinished work. You say, well, Pastor, I think there's something to be learned by Jewish custom. I agree. There is something to be learned by Jewish custom. There is nothing to settle your soul by Jewish custom. Jesus Christ is your Passover. Jesus Christ is your prayer shawl. Jesus Christ is your unleavened bread. Jesus Christ is your Day of Atonement. There is nothing outside of His finished work. Why are we so infatuated with the unfinished when we have the finished?
That is all that we have time for today. You've been listening to a message from a recent Wednesday evening Bible study from our home church in Poplar Bluff. The message was entitled, When the Bitter Becomes Sweet. If you would like a copy of this message, it's about an hour long on one CD. And it's our gift to you just for the asking. Ask for the title, When the Bitter Becomes Sweet. We hope to hear from you soon. Until next time when we continue this message, may God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902. Or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.